Hello, welcome to the Lauder Podcast. This is your host, Danielle Rochford. And joining me today are three second-year Lauder students who won a scholarship to work on their startup ideas over the summer. They are here to discuss their experiences while building up their businesses over the summer. All right, guys, let's get started. So can you all go around the room and introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Nidhi Shah. I am a second year in the Lauder program in the Hindi track. And the venture I'm working on is called Revolution. We're doing waterless composting toilets for low-income urban populations, starting in Mumbai. I was previously a chemical engineer and was really excited to be in entrepreneurship after I realized that I didn't find chemical engineering nearly as fun and meaningful as I thought it would be. I grew up in Mumbai. I'm from New Jersey. I love Thai food.
Hi, I'm Yuli. I am in the Chinese track of Lauder, and my venture is called Jubilee. Emily, who's also sitting next to me, is my co-founder, and together we're working on a product that is based on traditional Chinese medicine, but specifically to treat menstrual cramps for American women. Prior to Lauder, I studied mechanical engineering, and then I did a little bit of consulting and also worked in a startup. So I got that itch to start something starting in college, actually. A lot of my friends are entrepreneurs and they really just have the drive to solve a problem. And I know that sounds really vague, but I kind of came into the MBA program thinking it would be a great opportunity to take advantage of all the resources here. And all of the people and the networks that we have to start something as well. So that's how I got into entrepreneurship.
And this is Emily Tung. Yuli is my co-founder, and we are starting Jubilee. And for a little bit of personal background, so I'm originally from São Paulo, Brazil. I grew up there for 12 years, and then I moved to the U.S. Although my ethnic background is Taiwanese, Chinese, but also I'm American, so there's a lot of complexities there. But I've always felt very connected to my Chinese roots, and it's something that I wanted to explore a little bit more in graduate school. In undergrad, I studied both business and Spanish, and actually thought I would pursue something more Latin America-centric. But as I've been getting older, I've been able to explore a little bit more on my Asian side. So this program really fits in perfectly with both my personal and professional aspirations. And prior to Wharton and Lauder, I was doing consulting for 2 years, and then I switched to do government work in economic development for the city of New York. And it was there that I explored intrapreneurship, which basically is defined as entrepreneurship within an organization. I was able to start a really cool project there, and I really liked the process of ideating to execution. So that's something that I was particularly looking to do at graduate school.
So can you start off by going into more detail about your venture and what was your inspiration for it?
Yeah, our venture name, and this is Emily and Yuli, is called Jubilee, and it's essentially a menstrual remedy based on traditional Chinese medicine. And we were inspired by it because, well, Yuli and I are both ethnically Chinese, and we kind of grew up with traditional Chinese medicine at home. Our parents given it to us, but we never really knew what was in it. And so we were just curious to find out a little bit more about it and its benefits.
Hi, I'm Nidhi, and I'm working on my project called Revolution. We're doing waterless composting toilets that are compact and don't require sewage piping, specifically for urban low-income populations. So I actually got started because I had been involved with a company on the side, volunteering for it before I came to Wharton. And around the time I got in, the company I was working with decided not to be in India, whereas I very much wanted to be there. So I was nervous, but I thought maybe I could do this myself. And so here we are. I'm trying to do it myself.
What did you do during your summer? Emily and Yuli, do you guys want to start?
Sure. So for Jubilee, we spent a good month just doing the research and doing surveys and talking to our potential customers. We knew we wanted to use the Chinese medicine as the remedy, but we actually weren't sure which ailment we should target. So would it be to increase immunity, or would it be something more around menstrual pain, which is what we eventually settled on after talking to around 500 women. So we spent a good amount of time just doing that research. And then the rest of it, we've been spending making the connections so that we can start manufacturing, making the formulas right now, and then have the website in October.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, yeah, so Yuli and I were trying to figure out, okay, how do we even make traditional Chinese medicine? So one day we started walking around Chinatown in Philadelphia just to figure out, hey, what are some doctors who could help us with this? And we stumble on a particular shop, and we walked in and started talking about our idea with this one doctor, and he's a very entrepreneurial doctor, and he was immediately interested in working with us. So that's kind of how we got started with the partnership with our Chinese doctor. And so he has formulated the product for us. The product has 14 Chinese herbs, and it's based on 3 really popular medicines in China. So he's done a mixture of that with dosage. And then he introduced us to one of his connections, a pharmaceutical company in China, who is going to be prototyping the product for us. So right now we're going to be testing essentially what it should taste like, what's the color, what's the texture, and try to figure out if it's something that the women are willing to take. So we're very much in R&D mode right now. And that really definitely couldn't have happened without the flexibility and time that we had over the summer.
Awesome. Cool. Nidhi, can you also share about your summer?
Absolutely. Overall, the summer was difficult, but I was very pleased with the results at the end of it. So I spent a lot of my summer doing Steve Blank's customer discovery, which is what he calls the first step. And I spoke to 3 different segments. One was construction companies. In India, the way it works is laborers often come on site and stay for a lot of days at a time and live there, have to use restrooms there. And long story short, they didn't see as much of a problem or didn't care to invest money in it above and beyond what they were doing. I also spoke to taxi drivers. So everywhere I went around in Bombay, I would be sitting in an Ola, a black and yellow cab, and I would ask them about how they perceived sanitation. It's a big problem, but I felt as if I wasn't equipped to solve that problem particularly. And the final segment was residents who live in slums and chawls. So chawls are this particular type of housing. I would best describe it as dorm room housing. Think of your college dorm. You had a little 100 to 200 square foot room of your own, and you shared a bathroom in the hallway. That's the kind of places people live in, but that 100 to 200 square foot room has their bathhouse, their kitchen, their bedroom, their clothes, and all of it, and usually has a large family. That was the segment that I felt was most relevant to what I was trying to do, and I found through lots of conversations that they could pay, which was different from what I had initially imagined. So a slight pivot. And then towards the second half, I also built the toilet. So I have one if you want to come check it out. And I can also show you tons of photos of really nasty toilets.
Well, count us in. I know we just heard this from Nidhi, but did you guys also have to change plans or pivot at any point?
Yeah, we did. That's a great question. So as of April of this year, so before the summer started, we started to realize that our price point, our business model for our original idea, which was called Crescent Bites, wasn't going to work very well with our customer segment. And so to give you a little bit of background, Crescent Bites was a baby food company based on high pressure processing. So the idea was to make a more gourmet version of Lunchables. And we knew based on our market research that there would be a sweet spot we have to hit for the customer segment. We would have to reach the mothers who can afford something that is more luxurious than Lunchables, but at the same time who couldn't afford a nanny or some really high-end nursery that provided the food already. We had to price our version of Lunchables in just the right price point. And at the end, around April, May, we realized that that model wasn't going to work out. We still wanted to do something for the summer that was it with food and that helped women. So we were able to come up with our current product after continuing to interview people, including some of the people that we had talked to for Crescent Bites. And we came up with Jubilee back in June.
How did your lauder education kind of play into developing your venture?
I could talk specifically about my interviews with taxi drivers, as I mentioned. It helped me connect with people a lot better. So I'm in the Hindi track here at Lauder, and some of the readings we did and stuff we learned and discussions we had enabled me to be able to speak to taxi drivers about their lives. And then once they opened up to me, then I could ask them, hey, where do you go to the bathroom? Which is not necessarily the best question to ask early on. So in my specific experience, Lauter Hindi was very, very relevant to me. And I loved being able to connect to a different segment of a population that I had never done before, even while growing up in Bombay.
I think it's very similar to us. And it strikes me as really funny that the businesses that Nidhi and Yuli and I have pursued have very much connections to our language and our background and ethnicities and culture. Because Yuli and I, when we were pivoting, we were also thinking about what are our strengths, what is something unique to us. And we really thought about, oh, hey, it's our Chinese heritage and it's our ability to be able to connect with people in Chinese. And for us, the LOTA program has been also really helpful because, you know, for Yuli and I, we were both conversational in Chinese before in our families, but we weren't able to speak in more of a business sense and using vocabulary that both our Chinese doctor and our Chinese pharmaceutical both speak to us with. You know, for them, they're able to speak English, but they're much more comfortable in Chinese. So we've been using Chinese as a mode to both text them, to you know, communicate through email and telephone. So that has been really critical. And also because Lauter really pushes us to pursue a liberal arts side of things. Yuli and I are in a class right now called Medicine and Healing in China. And that's something that we probably wouldn't have taken just as Wharton students. So right now we're in the class with a professor who's explained to us the history of Chinese medicine, how it started, how it's evolved, and what is being used today. And that's going to be very relevant for us, for our branding, for how we tell the story to our customers. So yeah, and I think overall, I think for Nidhi and us, it's been phenomenal.
That sounds like the most perfect class. And here is the golden question. So what are your entrepreneurial learnings from your summer?
I think I learned a lot this summer. A lot of things were happening that I wasn't used to. I didn't have a home when I was there. I was staying with family. I was staying in hotels. I was staying at my mom's apartment that had been shut for a while. That was sort of the background I was working with. But as I spoke to people, the initial thing I learned was, hey, you just got to get going. I had in my head that I had to draft emails to send out to construction companies and have them say specific things, a clear call to action, and that it would take me a week. And I found that I didn't want to do it. So the next day I decided I was just going to go on Google and literally just call people. And that was awful, but that inspired me to then reach out to people warm, and get connections. And then the conversations went much better. The best way to put it is the magical power of action. Action sort of helped me get further along than I thought I was going to get by doing it perfectly. Another thing that I discovered also was that I can't solve everything, which sounds kind of, I don't know, maybe presumptuous, but maybe there's this notion of when you grow up in the United States that you can do anything. And I believed that. And when I went to India, I wanted to talk to people about how they should educate their female children, let's say in the case of taxi drivers, or that they shouldn't spit in the street or they shouldn't do that or whatever. And I realized that, hey, I had to stick to my message and I had to stick to what I was doing because it was too draining to be focusing on all of these different things. And so that was another lesson, just recognizing what I should do, what I shouldn't do. Maybe one final thing I'll mention is there's a lot of fear when you're doing entrepreneurship. You're constantly anxious, or at least I am, and it's not great. But what I learned is that to be brave as an entrepreneur is not about not having fear, which I thought for a long time, but it's more about doing things even though you're scared, and you're so scared, but you just got to keep going and find whatever it is to keep you going. You know, for me, it was being able to talk to my husband or having family who was like, yeah, you'll be fine. And they believe in you. They have blind faith in you, despite the fact that everything is falling apart around you. So whatever it takes, but it's just find that bravery.
That's really cool, Nidhi. I think Emily and I felt very similarly to you this summer. Yeah. I think persistence was a big theme for us. It was everything from the big pivot we did in terms of completely coming up with a new different product and different business, all the way down to kind of like you were saying, Nitty, the cold calls and the emails when people wouldn't get back to us. We would just keep calling them. And I, before this, and Emily knows this, before this, I was never big on phone calls. I would always email people because I just thought it was more respectful that way. But also phone calls are a lot more efficient and people can't ignore you when you have a phone call. So Emily actually taught me that. And that was a big skill of specific learning. And it comes in the form of persistence. You know, you just have to keep going at it. And then another thing is, I think decision making is very hard when you're in the weeds. We try to make a lot of decisions based on data, based on research. You know, we had the survey, as I mentioned earlier, with a couple hundred women. We try to look back on that and see what would be the best decision. But sometimes you just have to realize you'll get stuck in analysis forever. And sometimes you just have to make the decision and go with your gut and try it out. And if it doesn't work, then go back and do it again. You know, it doesn't have to be 100% there the first time. And it shouldn't be, because you shouldn't be spending that much time doing that since you don't have all the data. You can't possibly have all the data. So I think the big two lessons for me are definitely persistence and decision making with a lack of all the information.
Yeah, and I'll just quickly add on to what Nitty and Yuli have already mentioned. So for Yuli and I, we were working together, two of us, every single day for pretty much 2-3 months. And I think in the beginning, we're like, oh, it's going to be fine, you know. And, you know, still at the end, I'm still pleasantly surprised that we're still best friends and everything has worked really fine. We haven't had any fights over the summer. And I think a big lesson for me was to figure out how to work well together with someone, respect them just as much as they'll respect you, and project manage really nicely. You know, divide up your tasks, figure out what each person is going to be responsible for, figure out things that you should do jointly together, and really hone your strengths, but also help each other with your weaknesses and talk about what you want to work on together as professionals and grow together, frankly. So I think for me, that was very different. I think for she and I, we just haven't had to work with somebody so closely together ever before. So yeah, it was really fun, and I discovered that I really enjoyed that, and would continue doing that.
Yuli's shaking her head here.
She probably
just
is.
Kidding.
What would you say to a lauder student who's thinking about pursuing a startup?
Yeah, so I think the very first thing for a lauder student in particular to realize is that Penn is greater than just Wharton. And there's so many resources outside of Wharton that they should take advantage of, because it's free. So for example, Jubilee, Emily and I are in the Penn Law Clinic, which is third year law students, who's very qualified students who are about to graduate, and they work in pairs to help entrepreneurs draft certain legal documents. So we're working with them this semester, and we're really excited to basically outsource all of our legal work for free, which is really cool. And then there are a few undergrad classes as well that it's a similar structure where, you know, you apply and you, as a startup, can get help from the undergrads. So really think of the ecosystem of all of the University of Pennsylvania, not just Wharton or Lauder.
I think my advice would be that as an entrepreneur, if you're thinking seriously about doing a startup, you can, in an entrepreneurial way, also hack your schedule to fit your needs. And that works not just with Wharton, but also with Lauder. As I mentioned, I'm in the Hindi track, so I didn't have to do much hacking there. The Hindi classes definitely helped me with my enterprise. But even with the SAS electives and the country that you're choosing to be in, you can make it all work if you give it some thought and if you know early on what you want to do. If not, that's fine too. But if you know early on, that's awesome.
Yeah, my advice would be to use your student's status to the maximum extent that you can. And that means basically cold calling everyone, because everyone will pretty much answer to a student. And I found that really, really helpful for us. And it also means emailing other professors at Penn and even other schools that you'd like, because, again, people respond to students. So I think that's something that we all have to really take advantage of in our last year as our second year, because it'll just be a little bit harder once we graduate.
And so my last question for you guys is, what are your plans for after you graduate, and how does your venture play into that?
This is Nidhi, and I am in this. So I thought about it as the next 15 years or so is how long it'll probably take me to get this done. Maybe it's more. I don't know. So I'm not recruiting. I'm trying to raise money for the venture. And over the year, I'll be focusing on developing a marketing plan, a supply chain, fundraising, like I mentioned, and thinking about how to get our first hire. It sounds like a lot, but next year to the next few years, and then eventually we'll make our way over to India, me and my husband.
So this is Yuli. So Emily and I have thought about this long term as well. And because our product is a consumer packaged goods product, it will take a few years to cultivate the brand, and it'll take a few years to get our name recognition out there. So we are very much dedicated to bring this to the shelves of Whole Foods and other herbal stores. But we also recognize that we do have, you know, student loans we need to pay back. So we're both going to be recruiting. For me, I will be recruiting for hopefully a job in big tech. And this is actually partially inspired by Adam Grant, who, as many of you may know, is a Wharton professor. And he wrote the book Originals, which just came out last year. And he talked a lot about Warby Parker and how he didn't invest in them because the four co-founders, none of them were going to do Warby Parker full time after they graduated. But he actually then went on to discuss how that may have contributed to their success because they had financial stability in having a full-time job. They could take more risks in their business and also be patient. So, you know, they wouldn't have to sell off their inventory at a discount if they had to pay rent the next day. And so that's really been going through Emily and my heads a lot.
Yeah, and for me, and this is Emily, I'm unsure still what I'll be recruiting for, maybe startups, and I don't know what in what geographic location that will be, so that's something I'll explore a little bit more as second year unfolds. But I agree with Yuli, I think we both see this as something that we'd like to continue on past Wharton, and so building a brand does take a little bit of time. So yeah, we're both committed and invested to making it work.
Thank you all for taking the time to speak to me, and I wish you all the best of luck with your startup ventures. And thank you also to our audience for listening. If you'd like to learn more about the Lauder program, please visit us at lauder.wharton.upenn.edu.